Blog Talk Radio.
Taking any calls tonight, but if you have questions, you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social network at www.myhocm.ning.com, and I would also like to encourage you to visit our bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, at www.riversofrevival.com. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the love of God has been poured forth into my heart by the Holy Spirit who has given it to me. I keep and treasure your word. The love I have for you, Father, has been perfected and completed in me, and the perfect love casts out all fears. Father, I'm your child, and I commit to walk in the good kind of love. I endure long. I am patient and kind. I am never envious, never boil out with jealousy. I am not boastful or vainglorious, and I do not display myself haughtily. I am not rude and unmannerly, and I do not act unbecomingly. I do not insist on my own rights or my own way, for I am not self-seeking, touchy, fretful, or resentful. I take no account of an evil done to me and pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under every injustice and oppression that comes. I am ever ready to believe the best for others. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. I endure everything without weakening because the love of God in me never fails. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless and pray for those who persecute me without cause. I pray for those who are cruel in their attitude toward me. I bless them and do not curse them. Therefore, my love abounds yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I approve things that are excellent. I am filled with the fruits of righteousness. Everywhere I go, I commit to plant seeds of love. I thank you, Father, for preparing my heart ahead of time to receive this love. I know that these seeds will produce your love in the hearts to whom they are grown. Father, I thank you that as I flow in your love and wisdom, people are being blessed by my life and ministry. Father, you make me to find favor, compassion, and loving kindness with others. I am rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, knowing that you are on my side and nothing is able to separate me from your love. Father, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, thank you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you once again. And we will take a short break and come right back. Thank you once again. We welcome you to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. I must remind you once again that we will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371 Elmont, New York. And I would like to encourage you to tune in every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother, go it to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God abode raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We will honor the words of the Lord by saying, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for listening to His Word. Tonight we will continue our spiritual journey, and as we proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission, tonight we will continue the lesson, Demonization, Part 2. The difference in spiritual residences. I have often heard it said by many Christians, including ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the devil cannot be in you if you have God on your side or inside you. Yet we see the acts of many Christians who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who still have actions resembling that of devils. What these Christians and ministers of the gospel have said has some semblance of truth to it, while still not being totally correct. The issue that will bring clarity to this discrepancy is the spiritual residence of God when He comes into your heart, your most inner part, and the devils when they seek some territory in you to possess. Now we know that the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, has residence in us. For 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 through 20 says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God dwells in your spirit, which is God's, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Devils gain access to our souls through sin, but not the spirit of man, for it is God's. Your spirit is God's communication center to man, and the devils do not have access to it. Let's examine what your spirit is, so that we may better understand this dynamics of the residence of God in you in comparison to the enemy's place that he tries to gain. In Genesis 2 verse 7 A and B clause, we see the birthing of the spirit of man. It reads, And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. To understand what the spirit of man is, we must define the word breath from the Hebrew. We see in the above scripture that God breathed the breath of life, and man became alive. The breath of life, or the spirit of life that God breathed into man, was a spirit that had the life of God in it. Dearly beloved, please understand that God is the giver of life, and that life is spirit, and it is given through God's breath. Even though God had formed the body of man, it still was not alive until He blew the breath of life into it. The Hebrew word for breath in this text of scripture is neshama, meaning to puff, wind, angry, or vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect, breath, inspiration, soul, spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pronounced pneuma, which is pneuma, meaning a current of air, breath or breathe, an angel, demon, or divine God, Christ Spirit, Holy Spirit, ghost, life, spirit, mind. This is why we must communicate with God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the spirit of man is God's communication center. John 4, verses 23 to 24 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The devil has no access to your spirit, for that belongs to God. Yet he influences your soul, which is your mind, in an attempt to govern or direct the actions of your body. God uses your spirit to affect the actions of the body, while devils use your soul, the mind, to influence actions of the body. Discerning the origin of the influencing voice. The best way to discern who is trying to influence you is to know that devils speak to the soul to appease and exalt the flesh, which focuses on self, while the voice of the Spirit of God is still small, exalts God, and focuses on truth. To hear the communication of the Spirit of God, it is often required for us to get our minds quiet, which the enemy tries to use to drown out the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. I am not just talking about quieting the physical noise around us, but the issues that speak loud to our minds, such as your financial issues, your responsibilities, your needs, your health, your children, and so on. Those issues that speak loudly to the inner man or woman. God's voice is still small according to 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13, which says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? God was teaching Elijah a lesson about where he resides and his presence. Yet just like with most of humanity, Elijah, as well as Christians today, often feel that God must be in the biggest things, the loudest voice, the most demonstrative displays, which would be a wrong assumption. To reach God, we do not need all of the fanfare, rather to get quiet, so that we might hear his still small voice speaking into our communication center, our spirit. The word still small voice in the Hebrew is pronounced demama, meaning quiet, calm, silence. It is when we have quieted, calmed, and silenced our flesh and mind that we can begin to hear his still small voice speaking to our hearts or spirit. God first communicates with your spirit, which is the innermost part of you, which then flows into your mind. While the devil tries to directly influence your mind, it is here that many Christians miss the voice of God, thinking that every thought that comes to their mind is God. A good way to set an atmosphere that is prepared to hear the still small voice is to first repent of every sin and then set an atmosphere of praise using God's word to exalt him. Praise takes the focus off of you and places it on the only true and living God. We will take a short break and come right back. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries, present Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I am your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. Once again, I would like to remind you that we are not taking any calls, but if you have questions, you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York. And we also encourage you to visit our social network at www.myhocm.ning.com. And in addition, our Christian Bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Also, you can visit our School of Ministry, House of David School of Ministries at www.riversofrevival.com. Now, we will get right back to the lessons, and as a reminder, we are speaking about demonization. God did not create man that way. God did not create man in such a way that man would struggle to hear from God. It was sin that corrupted the open flow of communication between the spirit of man and the living God. When we look at Genesis 3, verses 8 through 13, we see man having open communication with God. And it reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. When man sinned, he shut down the open communication or clarity of understanding from the voice of the Spirit of God. The enemy used the mind and his desires for self-glorification to shut down the voice of the Spirit and its desire for truth and glorification of God. This is the same thing that the enemy does today to Christians, to shut down the voice of God and gain occupancy in man. And so we see from these things that God and the enemy can be in the same person because they have different places of residence. God in the spirit of man and the enemy influencing the soul, the mind, or psyche of man. Many don't realize that the enemy is using them. Those who are demonized don't always know what is being done through them, and they often speak on behalf of the spirit that indwell them. This is usually those who are fully possessed are those who the enemy has a stronghold over their minds. Matthew 8, verses 28 through 32 says, And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Not only do these demonic spirits possess people and speak through them, but they more often use people to speak for them. Satan used Peter to speak for him, to try and discourage Jesus Christ and steal his faith to go to the cross. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23 says, From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus Christ was not addressing Peter, rather Satan, who was trying to get Peter to speak fear into the life of Jesus for him, Satan. Please be watchful regarding what you say out of emotions or personal desires, for the enemy often uses those things to get us to speak for him. Not only did Satan try to use humans to speak for him, but in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, he used the serpent to speak for him. The serpent was not possessed by Satan, for if so, then it would be far from God to curse them when they were not in control. Rather, the serpent yielded to Satan and spoke for him. Demons vex and put people in bounds. We will take a short break and come right back.
Lord, God, save us now.
Welcome once again to Joseph Christ Ministries Presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World. And by honoring the Great Commission, I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. I would like to encourage you once again to write to us if you have any questions at House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. And we are on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will get right back to our lessons tonight. We are talking about demonization, and this is part two. Demons vex and put people in bonds. Demons vex the people that they possess. The Greek word for vex is paschko, meaning to experience a sensation or impression, feel, passion, suffer, vex. It can also be the Greek word auxileo, meaning to harass. Not only do demons vex, but they also put those areas that they possess in bonds. Luke 13, verses 15 through 16 says, "The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, though not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As I have stated in part one of this lesson, demons can possess different parts of a person, thus put in bonds different parts of them. When discussing the topic of demonization, we must examine the subject of idolatry. What is idolatry? The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 10th edition, states that it is the worship of a physical object as a god. It is also immoderate, exceeding or going past just usual or suitable bounds. Attachment or devotion to something. This is how some sport fans, music fans, act towards stars. They are excessive and go beyond suitable bounds regarding their devotion to a team, a person, or organization. The Hebrew word for idolatry is teraphemi, meaning a family idol or images. Teraphim. Idolatry is the worship of anyone or anything other than the one true living God. This includes the worship of gods in religions that are not of the triune God, or people, stars, politicians, all people, animals, or things. Idolatry or worship of false gods in false religion is a great sin because it exalts the creation, fallen angels masquerading as gods, people, animals, the earth, the moon and stars above the Creator. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3 says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Why did God give the first commandment to not have any gods before him? Because idolatry is a great doorway to demonic spirits. God knew that idolatry is always a key to demonization. It is when we put other things before God that we open ourselves to the spirits behind that, or who influence that decision. After the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt, the devil tried to use idolatry to find a place in them that would open them up to be a nation that would be demonized, and thus cause God to reject them. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 5 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them of their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Demons are behind all false religion, as well as atheistic thought, thus causing those who believe in them to open themselves up to the spirits that are behind them. This is why you may see some false religious leaders demonstrating some supernatural power. Every supernatural thing is not always from God. Demons are not natural beings, rather spiritual, causing their spiritual activity in the natural realm to be supernatural or above natural ability. Demonization of a city or nation. There are many towns, cities, and nations that are demonized. It is usually identifiable by an overwhelming era of sin, including those of false religion and atheism. The question that we must now address is, how does the enemy gain a stronghold or fortified place in a nation? the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verses 2, establishes the fact that a city or nation can become demonized, a habitation of devils, and under demonic control. It reads, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is falling, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Many cities and nations today are rulers of the darkness of this world, and our spiritual wickedness in high places oppressing them, causing that city or nation to become void of light and truth. As the people of these places submit to the influences of these entities, they further enable them to entrench themselves in the lives of those people, and then use those that have yielded to their influences to help them influence others and get others to accept their sin, thus causing a stronghold. Beloved, we will take a short break and come right back as we prepare to wrap up the show tonight. And we'll have a continuation next week as we continue to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world. Tonight, we would like to extend an invitation to salvation and conversion. We want to speak to the unbelievers and those who are considered to be backsliding, that they should come to Christ. During his time on earth, Jesus Christ was always inviting people to become his followers. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me." He invited his listeners to come to him, to come by faith, to come for healing, to come for hope, and to come for happiness. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Perhaps tonight you feel that Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Imagine if he was with you right where you are, giving you this invitation. What would you do? He's really inviting you to become his child or to recommit your life to him. I encourage you tonight, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you have done, to submit to him right now. He's calling you as an individual, calling you as a couple, calling you as a family. He died for you and rose again. His blood washes away our sins, and he can give you a new life if you'll submit. Right where you are, please pray this prayer with me. Father, it is written in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Therefore, Father, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I am a new creation. All things have passed away. Now all things become new. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you once again to write to us at House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York. God bless you for tuning into our show tonight. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, reminding you to tune in every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the full fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen, and good night.